Ingram Smith, Bud Elliott, back again for another episode of the Nolcast. Bud will be getting this out on Monday for people, so hopefully this provides a nice little spring game preview and just a general update as to where the program sits. And we'll obviously talk a lot about spring. Transfer portal opens technically today as well, I guess 8 hours ago at midnight, but we'll touch on that and just bounce around. I know you were at Elite 11 recently, so I always love to get your opinions and perspectives on what you've seen. And also, speaking of the spring game, and I try not to just use this podcast as a shameless forum to promote things that have to do with the Battle's End, but this is cool. If you're coming to Tallahassee on Friday night, we have an event at which you can buy a ticket to for, I believe, $30. Come and see Coach Norvell speak. And if you're not coming to Tallahassee, you can watch this via live stream. It'll be, 15 minutes or so of Coach Norvell directly talking about what he's seen from spring practice and his expectations of the team. So it'll be a nice little forum to get a good idea as to the perspective of the head coach. They'll also, for those of you that wouldn't be able to attend physically, there'll be a silent auction that's available to grab some pretty cool merch and memorabilia. So you can go to thebattlesend.com to learn more about it. You'll have a little pop-up there with Mike in a gray hoodie. You can click it, learn more about it, buy tickets, and all sorts of other things. So again, if you're not coming to Tallahassee for the game Friday night, we'll have the exact time. I believe Mike will speak right at 6:30. As you can imagine, his schedule is pretty clearly well-defined, and it'll be a good opportunity for you to, maybe see one half of the Nolcast talk about the football team, and then a much more educated source on what the football team is and that of the head coach give you an idea as to what he's seen from his team so far this spring.
Dude, that's going to be awesome. By the way, huge congrats with the stadium sale that y'all had. Like the number of people who have DM'd us or hit us up or I've seen in person, like, man, I love the brick I got from the Battle's End. Like that's pretty cool. And I think that's something they're going to really treasure, for a long time in their office or their man cave or, wherever their wife lets them put it.
Yes, wherever their wife lets them put it. Somebody that bought a big section sign. I'm struggling with that right now. But no, I mean, the things were gone. Honestly, man, most of the stuff was gone. Most of the signs, section signs were gone within 4 hours or so. Stuff flew. It was a great opportunity to both raise some money for the Battle's End and also give people a historic piece of Doak Campbell Stadium. Also think we have a couple wrinkles tied to that coming in the pipeline. So and when I know that for sure, I will spread that more. But there, look, we can't go back and create signs and stuff. That's not what's there. But we may be able to partner with a past athlete to have a brick and an autograph picture or something like that. So we're trying to explore a couple other unique ways to make the most of some of the byproducts of the progress that's being made on Doak Campbell Stadium right now.
Let's start the show off here with some positive news on the recruiting front. So I was at Elite 11 Orlando. Help contribute to the write-up that Andrew Ivins did on 24/7 Sports, and it was a solid day. I had some prospects that are, I think, on the rise. Like nobody like crazy superstar level who actually like played to a superstar level. But after it got done, I had my own notes, and then I try to talk to some coaches because you can only watch like one station at a time. Sometimes two if you really kind of put your head back forward a little bit. But that still leaves like four stations that you're not able to watch. At any given time. So, I try to check in and just see if I have any gaps in my evaluation or my observation. And I don't feel that I really did. But one thing that did come up was Tramell Jones, the quarterback commit for the Noles. He was not there. He actually punched his ticket to the Elite 11 finals last week at the Oxford Regional for the Elite 11. I guess folks in Oxford decided they wanted to go ahead and spend up to have that there. And they said that Tramell had like one of the best throwing circuits that they had seen in a while at a regional. So I was very pleased, obviously, to hear that. He's a guy who continues to perform quite well this offseason, and I look forward to seeing, you know, what he can do as a senior there. One name to keep an eye on, Carter Smith, who is currently committed to Michigan, a dude who's definitely like grown a lot physically. He was a former like top baseball prospect. He's given up baseball now, a guy at Bishop Vereau down there in Fort Myers. I guess that'll be one to kind of monitor as the season goes on. We'll have to see how Michigan season goes. And then a guy who I know FSU's involved with quite a bit because he talked about visiting the Noles, and I think there's probably a return visit, is Brady Hart, who's the quarterback of Coco. And to me, he was pretty clearly the top 2026 quarterback at the event. But man, I just feel, and it's dangerous to say, obviously, with transfer portal season upon us, there are not a lot of teams out there about which I feel better about the room of the most important position in football. Like, I like Florida State's quarterback room. You know, they have DJU, who I feel like has looked really good from the stuff I've seen. Everybody on that staff that I talk to feels like he is absolutely what they had hoped he would be. So that's very encouraging. Looks to be in much better shape than when he arrived on campus. So, again, I feel like that's our weekly shout out to Josh Storms. And then, they, correct me if I'm wrong, but like Battle's End is you guys are partnering with Brock Glenn again, right?
Like, I like Brock's one of my favorite people on the team. I think that I would expect Brock to be on the roster from this man's perspective. Yeah.
I mean, that's
Brock's a great teammate. It's been great to watch him work with DJ. Been great to watch him work with Luke. Quarterback room, when it gets crowded, people make different decisions and go different places. But I think Brock's a pretty large part of this roster right now. And I think Florida State's very lucky to have him on multiple fronts.
Yeah, I mean, in talking to guys there, they were asking me like what quarterback rooms do you like? Like, well, Ohio State looks pretty good. The same kid is pretty unreal so far. And I was like, look, man, Florida State got DJ. That staff believes in Brock. Like, they're kind of surprised by it. They're like, because Brock at Elite 11 looked kind of raw when these guys saw him in person. And so, look, man, staff believes in Brock. They're like, shoot. Because like we know Luke's got some serious tools and Tremel's a pretty nice looking prospect. So that's a loaded room right there. And I think something the Noles fans should be pretty damn happy about. That's one that can tank your team if you can have a lot of good players, but you don't got a quarterback, you don't have much.
It is it's continued to be very impressed by DJU as well, watching him at practice. Need to be respectful of the coaches, practices are closed. I will just tell you that there are DJ's gone from making like one throw where you're like, oh my gosh, to making like four throws in a row, which are both, it's great. You know, the physical aspect is always there and you knew that, but I think timing with teammates is progressing nicely. I think decision-making is progressing nicely. And you said it 60 seconds ago, but shout out to Coach Storms, DJ. Now look, nobody's going to get a kill shot on DJ. So, but DJ is making people miss, in the open field and stuff where, yeah, maybe 5 weeks ago he wouldn't have, he's quite the athlete. So, I'm impressed, and the progression so far has been, significant.
And no doubt about it.
Not that this matters, but just take my word for it. DJU is like as nice and respectful a kid on a team full of nice and respectful kids. DJ's a great kid and has, by all accounts, fit in exceptionally well. And that's not always easy to do, particularly at that position, particularly with, when you've been one of the biggest recruits of all time, when you've gone to Clemson and, you know, you've had some adversity there and gone to Oregon State and had success. I've just been impressed on every front by the way that DJ handles himself. Oh, impressive kid.
All my interactions with him when he was a recruit were always just pretty personable, just chill dude, very like down to earth, not super big time. And for his part, like the other counterpart that year, Bryce Young, as well. But both guys were they just didn't act like idiots, mm-hmm. you know? And like yesterday, I'm not going to call him out because like he's a kid, you know, but like I took note of it. You know, we had one guy who played well at Elite 11 and he just acted like a dumbass. And like after his rep, he would like walk back like super slow and kind of like strut it out to the back of the line. But the problem was he was getting in the way of other guys' drops. And the coach kind of got on him about it. And he like literally like waved him off, like whatever. I'm like, I don't know, man. You got to be like – Trevor Lawrence was like the opposite of this. Trevor Lawrence was like a super crazy nice guy. But like you better be that level of prospect if you're going to act like that as a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
But whatever, there is certainly time to improve. I will also note, and we'll talk about this a little bit more when we get to kind of the opponent spring game section of today. It's not like the offense has a lot of free release, you know, easy, wide open stuff all the time. I mean, this defensive back room is quite good. And I mean, they're making them earn it in practice, you know, yeah. So that's encouraging. Like, cause it's not just easy. Like he's having to make precision throws. Some of these highlights they put out, like they put the out they threw in the end zone the other day. It was a well placed throw, but it was also like almost picked. Mm-hmm. The one that FSU put out, like that's they got a lot of contested stuff, which is I think strength of the DB room, you know, receiver room taking somewhat of a step back this year. Still hopeful that you know some guys can emerge and become you know big time alphas there. But like it's a little there's not going to be many. You won't face any secondaries in the regular season who have what FSU has.
Yep.
I'm very confident in that.
Yeah, guys continue to emerge. AZ. Fentrell flashed a couple times. It was really encouraging just in last week when I was down there. Earl Little Jr. is, from one layman's perspective, appears to continue to be progressing. And then you just have this. You have this deep pool of really young, either first or second year DBs. Jabril Rawls will flash. There were some nice evaluations there on guys who've continued to grow into their body. And that room's going to be really impressive. I mean, good look at getting AZ off the field and Fentrell has very much cemented himself as well. But there's a whole lot of depth and the rotation will be really interesting and fun to watch. I don't know if you watched the climb, Bud, but I went back and, had it suggested to me. So I watched episode one, there's like 15 minutes in there on AZ and his brother getting named. They were both AZ for college, Wanye, a former, really good player at Georgia Tech. And I believe he's been on the, Cowboys roster for 4 or 5 years now. Both got man of the year at this at this convention and just great. And I'm somewhat aware of, you know, all the challenges and work that the Thomas's mom, Stephanie, put into raising those kids. And it was just a great moment. And it's about 4 or 5 weeks old. So I totally missed it, but I watched it and just want to recommend it to our user base or listener base. It's great to. Great to see AZ be noticed and recognized, and the episode itself is very good, as is episode number two. So,
absolutely. Something else we'd recommend is the Legendary Team. Chad does a tremendous job. 844-FSU-LOAN, 844-FSU-LOAN. He understands this is a stressful process to get a home. He'd like it to be a little bit less stressful, and like it's just straightforward, man. You know, I've used them twice. Are we up to 550 now?
We'll have to run the numbers. We're certainly approaching if we're not there.
I mean, about 550 Nullcast listeners have decided to use the Legendary Team for their home loan needs. I mean, I think that says something, right? We got a big audience, but that's still doing something right there. And I just, when you call me, doesn't want to waste your time. Now, you'll probably get a little Knowles talk, which, you know what? If you're listening to this podcast, that's probably something you want to. But, man, I just think they do a great job and you know, but not the run around with, oh, here's the rate. Oh, actually, no, here's a hidden. We bought 2 points, so your closing costs are now X. And just, I think you do a great job. I give him a call. 844-FSU-LOAN is the number to call. You mentioned Earl Little Jr. One of our spring questions was, and I think we had mostly answered this in the affirmative in the last show, would Earl Little step up and take that nickel job? Which is a hole because, I mean, Jerrion played very well down the stretch last year.
Very well, yeah.
I think Greedy Vance transferring out probably is we can move that from the pretty sure he's going to take it to, yeah, he's taking a call.
Those two would certainly appear to be related to some extent. Now, a lot of this transpired before I could get down there, but I will say what I heard about Greedy's play in spring was very positive. You know, that he had played at a high level. We'll just have to see on stuff like that. I mean, I know Greedy retweeted a tweet from someone else or something like that. So the portal is open officially now, and you should get more clarity on that. Certainly, it's not a Florida State. It's not a phenomenon that's limited to Florida State. Then maybe some guys will put stuff on social and then not leave. Yeah, we'll just see. You know, the portal is going to be open for the next 2 weeks here. And we'll all just watch it and evolve. I mean, people in the industry seem to suggest that it's going to be this hyperactive window. Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe it's not. And it doesn't necessarily, you know, it may be more for some programs than others. The portal is unpredictable. And the second that you think you know something exactly, you're probably going to be proven wrong. But I think Florida State enters this window in a very good place. So,
I agree with you on that. I think that we will see some superstar players enter. I think we will see fewer of those players actually leave. I think a good number will come back. We've seen this in Tallahassee. We've seen this elsewhere. Guys do use the portal as leverage to seek, you know, more NIL opportunities if they think they can get them. And you know what? A lot of times they're not correct, actually, in that assumption. Sometimes they are, because the school does not maybe value them quite as much as they think the school should. And there's also the aspect of playing time, right? Greedy Vance is not a freshman. He does not have much time left in college football. Like, assuming he leaves, which we'll see if he actually follows through with it, but there will be guys on this roster and on every roster who look around and they say, man, I don't have much time left. I would like to go start somewhere. And that probably means dropping down a level in terms of the quality of team, whether that's going from, you know, an FSU to a Mississippi State, or, you know, NC State to App State, or whatever level it is. But there's a certain level you can drop down to where you're clearly going to be a no-doubt starter for that team. And I think Florida State has done a tremendous job in keeping quality depth across more positions than most teams in the sport have. That's number one, the work you do, buddy. And number two, I think the culture and that the staff has established. Like, I think that winning matters to a lot of these kids, and you can be sort of cynical and be like, oh, all these kids care about is money nowadays, blah, 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 blah. Well, I do think, like, the winning and the brotherhood and the development aspects, I think that actually matters to a lot of kids on this roster. And I think that's important, because if you don't have that, if your only tool is the checkbook, then you can run into problems. And we have seen some schools that have those problems. So having a nice marriage of, you know, NIL opportunities and a staff that promotes, you know, most of these kids on this team, I think, do care about winning on some level, which is important.
Yeah, definitely. Credit to the staff, referencing the climb episode that I watched again. It goes deep into the squat party and the work that Josh Storms and really his full team do. He's got a lot of talented lieutenants on that staff. And Storms makes a great point. You know, these kids are super excited and hyping a kid up and urging him to, you know, hit a squat max or whatever. And that's probably the kid that in 10 days he's going to be competing against, you know, trying to earn reps. I will say, yeah, the culture, you know, Like, I had this great middle school wrestling and football coach, Bud, just to go off on a quick tangent, who, like, you didn't like to go to practice for him. He was kind of crazy. You'd do more cardio than you would think you could as an eighth grader. He kicked my best friend off the team, lifelong best friend, Brock. And still to this day, Brock's like, yeah, that's probably the best thing that ever happened to me. But, like, you would... Like, you wouldn't love practice, but you'd love leaving practice, and you'd put up with it because you knew that that guy was a really good coach and that he cared an awful lot for you. And I think Mike fits that bill, but I think a lot of people on that staff fit that bill. I mean, they push these kids hard. They have high expectations. But, you know that if ultimately you want to, you know, play professionally, that's probably what it's going to take. And I'll say a lot of the kids that leave want to come back, ultimately. Maybe immediately, maybe down the road. I mean, but there's a pretty distinctive pattern on transfer portal exits from FSU. So I think Mike and his staff have grasped, embraced, and executed the modern landscape of college football as well as anybody in the country.
Completely agree. Yeah, I there's no doubt about it. And you know, at the same time, like, it is hard. The fact that I think they do it, I don't know. I don't want to make, like, absolute statements, like, the best. But, like, certainly, like, they're in that top tier, right, of current roster management and fostering that culture that allows you to have that roster management. Nobody keeps everybody that they want. Nobody keeps everybody around who's like, oh, hey, like, this kid is a contributor. Is not, like, because, again, kids want some playing time. You know, I look at the receiver room. Now, with the Destin Hill injury, and we don't know what his availability will be for the fall. He's out for the rest of spring, and we'll see when he gets back. That really sucks because he was having some real moments. And, you know, as a guy that I think hopefully you get something out of him in 24. Maybe the full Destin Hill show. Maybe that's a year later, but I hope not. I hope it's this year. That's still a room, man. That's like really, really pretty crowded. You know, you think about this, like only one ball. We think FSU's probably a little more run heavy this year, most likely, just because you do lose what, like, I think it's pretty safe to say like two top 150 picks at worst, depending on where Johnny gets mocked. And a tight end in Bell, who I think is probably going to get drafted by somebody. Mm, yeah. Like, that's a lot of firepower to lose at the receiving position. And a quarterback who, you know, was in the Heisman race until pretty damn late. I mean, you think about this. Like, seniors on this team, Ja'Kai Douglas, Darion, Kentron, Deuce Spann, Malik Benson. I mean, and then you have Hill, who, okay, availability kind of questionable. Hakeem, who they're, you know, they're still extremely high on. And then you got Vandravius, Jalen Brown as your redshirt freshman. And then you got four true freshmen. I mean, that's ...13 scholarship receivers.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bunch, dude.
Yeah.
There's only one ball. Like, I not that we're going to name names, because I don't know the names of who's going to dip, if somebody dips. But, like, if I'm just non-FSU inside knowledge, I think a decent chance somebody dips out of that room because there's only one ball to go around, you know, so we'll have to see. But, like, that's sort of one of the challenges in modern roster management. Also, if you do need to bring in, like, a big-time, I don't say big-time, like, hey, like a Keon-level kid, but, like, just a big-bodied receiver, get in line, bro, because everybody needs one. Like, I'm working on our portal stuff for Cover 3. And you know what Miami needs? Big body receiver. You know what Florida needs? Big outside receiver. Like, everybody's like, yeah, you got any really big guys? Because Miami lost theirs to Georgia, so Georgia doesn't need one. It's tough because I like the speed. And hopefully the answer is just Hakeem. But, you know, like, there would need to be a lot more consistency there for him to be that level in 24. Now, that's certainly possible. He showed a lot of improvement, you know, last fall down the stretch before he got hurt. But and there's some I don't think receiver's a loaded room, but it is a crowded room. Yep. DB to me is like a loaded room that is also like loaded and crowded.
I think think that's a good way of putting it. I will say, you know, Hakeem is a really hard worker and a kid who I think has a lot of plans throughout the summer, both in and outside of Tallahassee, to continue to improve his craft. And I think Hakeem is, look, you don't want to bank on one guy if that's, you know, really what you need as far as a larger physical wide receiver. But trajectory has been significant so far, and interesting to see if that continues. Yeah, man, it's just, you know, the numbers part of it, it just is what it is. And ultimately, if either, you know, you come to the decision that you either want to play or you think you need to be put in the, you know, proverbial shop window to have a chance at pro ball, then whether it be receiver or any other position, I mean, you know, just, you know, the portal gets painted, I think, as this pure NIL grab. Yeah, sometimes it is. A lot of times it's not. Sometimes it's kids who just say, look, man, I enjoy practice and I enjoy my team, but I do want to try to play this sport before my eligibility runs up. And you do, you know, you do see that, and you will continue to see that at Florida State and every other school. Oh.
Totally. Yeah, like playing time does matter for sure. It does. It also, just from a pure economic standpoint, not that I expect you to comment on this, but like, it's insane. Like, you can't just throw $1 zillion around just to keep everybody, like all your backups paid like they'd be paid as starters at other schools. Like, that doesn't make NIL sense, because the backups are not going to have the level of exposure that they're going to have starting at a different school in most cases. Now, some have a really high recruiting profile, so they already have that big time, like, social media following. But for the most part, they're not going to have that big time exposure to where it makes sense to pay a backup in that way. Most likely, if you're looking to get your money out of it as a marketing based business. So, I think some guys will look for playing time elsewhere there. I do have a positive note, by the way. Well, I think a lot of this is positive. I mean, shoot, saying, hey, this room, like, DB room's loaded and receiver room is crowded is fairly positive. One of our questions that we thought as of now is still kind of unanswered was pass rush. From our spring questions, like, most of these have been answered, most of them in a positive way. Mike Norvell and Adam Fuller have spoken really nicely about Marvin Jones Jr. lately. So my ears kind of perked up there, because he was not somebody who was getting a lot of praise for tour of duty stuff, nor in the early parts of spring camp. So it's like, okay. I take note of these little trends, almost like Google Analytics. Like, hey, this word's been searched for this many times. Like, that's going up, buddy. That's encouraging a little bit.
Physically, you know, one of the more gifted guys on the team, and like, you just noticed that when he walks out of the, when he's on his way to the field. Not to be too hyperbolic, but like, one of the first faster, like, takeoff steps that I've ever seen a defensive end have, or an edge rusher. Marvin is very physically impressive. I didn't watch a whole lot of him at the practices that I was at, so I'm just going to lean on the people who know football infinitely more than I do, which is, you know, Norvell, comma, Mike, and Fuller, kind of Adam. And if they're, you know, really excited about the progress that he's made, then that's really good. I do notice that the coach Papuchis works with him individually an awful lot. And historically, that would suggest good things based off what he's done at the defensive end position the past couple of years. I think you got, you know, four good pieces now. Tomi Durajai is working inside and out with the defensive line. And that's probably a good thing, because I do think you can get that kid on the field in certain pass rushing situations where maybe he's an interior lineman and can use some of the skills that he showed on the outside. I've been really impressed with Lola Lahela. I think that's a really solid pickup that has an exceptionally high floor. And Pat Payton has continued to impress. You know, he's continued to work on his body, and there's a noticeable difference there. And just you know, working in NIL, you do get a chance to talk to some of these kids just either after practice or, you know, randomly. And one thing that will, that does stick out to me that I'll share is like teammates think that Pat Payton might have the highest football IQ on the team. Like they describe him as a exceptionally smart football player. You see some of the way that he reacts on, and I'm not just saying a guy who's being a, you know, being an ass for a lack of better words, because it's spring sure. and he knows what the plays are. I'm saying you look at past game tape, you know, you see a kid who's very smart when it comes to, you know, identifying boot and other things like that. I just think Pat's a very good player who may be on the verge of having an exceptional year.
I'm excited, man. I having watched a lot of spring games, which I was up pretty late last night watching to get ready for today's Cover 3, I watched Alabama, Ohio State, Florida, Miami, Kentucky, what else? LSU. Most of these condensed, by the way, not like 3 hours per game type thing. I find myself increasingly encouraged by this defensive side of the football for FSU. I look at this and, you know, I would you take FSU secondary or an all-star secondary comprised of the rest of the teams in the state of Florida? I'm not saying I know what the answer is here. I'm saying the fact that I'm asking this question
and yeah.
pausing.
I would lean Florida State. I'd love to see if maybe there's not a departure or two. You know, maybe the math makes it a little bit easier to make that that call post-transfer portal window. But, no, I think I would lean Florida State. I'll also say there's just some positive things about what you've seen out of the linebackers. I think that they really like the evolution of Cryer's game and continue to hear good things about Blake Nicholson. And I saw Blake Nicholson make two. And again, this is just a one-off anecdotal play. You don't two plays, actually. You don't ever want to get too much, too much of your opinion based off one thing in spring. But Nicholson made two really sharp plays that involved his head because physically it's all there, man. I mean, I say this to you a lot, bud. Blake is like maybe 2 inches taller and 25 pounds heavier and has been clocked multiple times being faster than Kalen DeLoach. Okay, like physically, Nicholson's is very fortunate to have the skill set that he does. I'll put it that way. And if he continues to learn the position and continue to learn his reads, sky's the limit. I believe he had one of the fastest GPS times recorded on the team last year in game that wasn't either a DB or a wide receiver. Like he's very, very physically gifted. And, hopefully that, you know, they continue to develop that, and that's somebody that gets a chance to contribute this year.
I'm excited to see that, man. I really am. Like getting something out of Cryer, it's quite likely that you have a drop off in terms of quality of play at the linebacker position this year because you had two. Was Kalen a fifth year?
I think he was four because didn't he get thrown into it immediately? I can't. I mean, he was Willie's final class, I believe.
I think so.
Okay.
Regardless of status, he and Tatum were like very veteran guys, you know. So I think you will almost certainly have a drop off in the quality of play at linebacker this year, which is it's ebbs and flows, right? Nothing just goes up forever. But at the same time, the two you have out there could. In theory, be higher upside guys long term than the two players you just lost due to physical traits. Now that there's gotta realize those physical traits and then make sure those gains actually happen in terms of on field play. But I do think that's some encouraging stuff right there.
Yeah. I think you could be fairly consistent or fairly confident with what you're going to get from DJ Lundy, a guy that's continued to put in a ton of work. And, you know, DJ's a, just look at some of the work he's done in goal line. I mean, he's a freak athlete. He is. But he's continued to work with Coach Storms and is very impressive. And I think you can be very confident about what you're going to get from Lundy, just as you can be very confident about what you would get from Perro and Matt Lewis and the great team at Congruity. Matt has been, you know, I can't describe Matt in the appropriate terms as to how important he's been for the work that that the Battle's End has done and Nolcast has done. And I appreciate him all the more whenever we get into the tax window, I'll put it that way. A lot of it just makes things very clear as to what's been going in and out and what needs to be, you know, declared and keeping track of all sorts of different business operations. So we've said it since day one. If you want your business to run in as efficient manner as possible, I would contact Matt Lewis with a great team at Congruity and feel very confident that your business will be all the more better because of it. CongruityHR.com is the website. CongruityHR.com/Knowles is the site that was created specifically to help Knowlecast listeners like yourselves.
Totally agree there. Matt does a tremendous job. All right, so on your list of things to do, call and get a home loan, hit up Congruity, check out Matt's Epic Township, of course, Charlie Park as well. It's a nice little shopping list. My portal shopping list here for the Knowles. If I'm thinking, okay, what's like a realistic stretch goal for this FSU team, right? I don't think this is a national title winning team, but I think a realistic stretch goal would be like make the playoff and win a playoff game. So to do that, you would need to have some serious depth. And one spot where I feel like could certainly be improved in terms of depth that I know I can count on is defensive tackle. Now, if you've seen the reports, the teams who need a defensive tackle this year are Auburn, Alabama, LSU, who needs two. I think Penn State needs one. USC needs one to two. Arizona is in need of one. I believe South Carolina could use one as well.
Maybe Texas.
There's a couple more. Yes, that's right. Texas is certainly going to need some defensive tackles. Now, you might be in a little bit different category than some of those for various reasons, but if Florida State could get a guy who can give them like slightly better than Grady Kelly, I think in terms of like big bodied ability to stop the run and also like maybe like push the pocket some, that would be great. I don't think you might get somebody as good as your starters, but I think that'd be unlikely in this scenario. But giving somebody who can give you quality depth, I think would be really, really nice there at D-tackle. Like that's a spot that I could see them helping to upgrade the team without upsetting the room too. You know, like that's some positions, you know what? You need to upgrade it, and it's probably going to piss some kids off. It happens. But that's one I don't think it would upset the room too much.
I think there's some spots where, you know, maybe the coaching staff has an idea, and then there's probably another series of positions where the coaching staff just says, hey, look, we're going to monitor it. We're going to watch, and if, you know, something – truly unique were to present itself, then yeah, we're probably gonna, you know, we'll see. You know, obviously it's a lazy example, but yeah, if I don't just mean at wide receiver, I mean like, yeah, if another Keon Coleman becomes available, then yeah. And if Keon Coleman this time presents himself as a, I'm just gonna say quarterback, because you're not gonna go after a quarterback, and that way, you know, nobody thinks that I'm suggesting a position. Yeah, if Keon Coleman, the quarterback, presents himself, then yeah, you know, you go and look at that. I don't necessarily see the looming insanity that some people in this industry think is coming in this window, but I am very micro focused on one team. So I'm not going to tell you that I know, you know, that you're going to see a mass departure at an XYZ SEC school or whatever. We'll just have to see what this portal window looks like and what the opportunities are that are out there. And, you know, at the end of April, we can do a NOLcast in May 1st and have a great idea as to what it, you know, was and was not. I'll also say that, you know, just because the portal closes doesn't mean that that's the end of activity either. So I'm kind of contradicting myself. You know, you will have kids that enter the portal late and have more time because of various factors, whether it be coaching changes or I know that like graduation consistently is part of this as well. So it's not quite professional soccer where like when the transfer window closes, the, you know, it slams shut and you're not going to have any more activity for another 6 months. Obviously, with the day and age with graduate transfers, they can leave whenever. So, you know, if whether it be Florida State or if you're one of our many number of Clemson listeners that listen to this podcast or whatever else, you know, just because your team didn't grab that one position that you desperately wanted them to by April 30th, I would not say that all is lost.
I think that's very fair. Also, you're informed, but also like hyper-focused on one school perspective is in some ways informed because you guys did go through some of the crazy transfer portal madness about a year ago, you know, and have been through some of those transfer portal battles in a way that maybe some schools had not, right? Because you know, last year was really, really about like not that you're not all in this year. I think you guys certainly are, but like last year was like, hey, this is a super super veteran roster coming back. Let's add a couple pieces, and then like balancing personalities and wants, and every year the market is still maturing, I guess is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But y'all went through some market maturity last year for sure. And I think everybody involved probably learned, you know, some lessons from that to the extent you can, right? Mm-hmm. 'Cause there's some things in this largely unregulated market that's difficult to, even if you learn it, it can you actually put those lessons into place? I think to some extent, but I mean, there are some kids who on FSU's schedule who I'm looking out for. And I'm not saying these are guys who have go to FSU because I don't think they are. But, like, there are guys. Like, I know a lot of people are watching to see if Jade Knott, the stud running back at Cal, is still going to be a Cal. Like, I will tell you all, that's a material piece. I don't really care about running backs all that much. But Jade Knott's stud. So, if he's – and FSU's pretty loaded at running back, by the way. And in the way that I think the personalities kind of fit together – like Toa Philly is different than Roy Dell and is different than everybody else there. But like that would matter to Cal for sure if he sticks around. Mm-hmm. You know, Memphis put out the video about how excited Hennigan is for the upcoming season. That kind of like a hostage video a little bit. So I guess, you know, we'll see on that one. You know, another position on his squad, like tight end, is interesting to me. I mean, they seem to like Jackson West as a blocker. I would feel much more comfortable with that if Jackson West had shown any propensity to stay healthy throughout his career. I do think he has some real kind of nastiness to him. And if he stays healthy, he will play a lot for sure. That's probably a snap count draft hint on my end. But like, the rest of that room is kind of young and inexperienced aside from me. And honestly, Wes is inexperienced too. Not young, but certainly inexperienced. And Morlock is, you know, I think we have a decent idea what he is. I mean, if could FSU use a veteran tight end to come in and, I don't know, like he's probably not going to start, but like, is there somebody out there who enjoys the all the things Tallahassee has to offer and wants to get a graduate degree? You know, maybe as a one-year type guy. I don't know, like pie in the sky, maybe that's just wish casting on my part, but that could certainly make me sleep a little better at night in terms of the quality of the tight end room and in terms of dependability. Like I'm not out on Brian Courtney. I'm not really sure what Jarrell Powers is going to be ultimately, wherever that is, but a third guy there who I think is dependable would be kind of a luxury to have. And like you said, if a Keon pops up, especially at receiver, I think maybe you take a look, I guess, depending on the receiver is the position where I think you got to watch in terms of there's only one ball. We already went over this. Like, there are teams out there that are really receiver needy and not just, hey, I need a stud only. Like, there are teams out there like, man, like, for instance, Michigan went through spring with three scholarship receivers. Three. Like, there are teams out there. Mississippi State is very receiver needy. Like, there are teams out there who are, you know, pretty pretty receiver needy, and they need to take numbers. So they have playing time to sell. That's a pitch that FSU will have to counter with a different pitch, but they can't match pitch for pitch there if they don't have that same level of playing time and guaranteed number of catches to sell, unless you go out and earn it and just say, hey, this starting spot is mine, and you take it. And then I guess another one, which, of course, good luck with this, tackle depth. Like, you'd love to have another offensive tackle dependable, you know, depth-wise. I think Lucas Simmons' reports are encouraging. It sucks that he lost basically a full year, you know, to the health deal last year. But long-term, I'm still very high on him. The Armella tackle experiment kind of went how I thought it was going to go, potentially, which, you know, they kicked him down the guard. We'll see how that works. But I think with the uncertainty surrounding Rob Scott's health, having somebody who I could feel like can at least play at like an ACC level, not even a good AC level, just like somebody you throw out there and you feel, okay, like it's not going to wreck the whole offense having to play, would be nice. Although best case is Rob Scott just comes back healthy, and that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly. Not a nicer kid than Rob either. No, I mean, it's big time college football. You're going to evaluate every position you have and see if there's not a piece out there from both a playing perspective and a culture perspective that would not help you. I mean, I think the only places that, again, this is just my opinion, I don't think they'll look at specialist, meaning kicker or punter, and I don't think you're looking at added quarterback. Other than that, you could probably add running back to that list too. But my point is, they're going to look at everything. They're going to evaluate, you know, what comes in the portal, and also any kind of past history that the staff may have with them. Either, you know, maybe somebody coached a brother. Maybe this is a kid that, you know, you came in second or third for in the original high school recruitment, etc. You know, there's a standard evaluation process, and then there's a second half of that that is, you know, unique to each individual and position. And that has a lot to do with, you know, either past history or, you know, what they may think the current need is. So, yeah, there is no, you know, there's no cookie cutter model to this per se. Yeah, it'd be really interesting to see. It's not going to be a boring time at all. We'll probably do a couple Nolcasts where I'm in random hotel rooms in Tallahassee over the next couple weeks, and we'll go from there. So, good times.
All right, spring games. I watched Florida.
Did you see where they put 10 out again? That's awesome.
Wait, what?
Yeah, they had 10 on extra point.
I did not watch any special teams.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. I just saw the graphic. It's always a dangerous thing, you know. Maybe they were cycling somebody off or something. Obviously, any of the big three will jump at any opportunity to troll and laugh at each other. But that looked authentic to me. And you know, look, it is a spring game. If you have 10 out on extra point, probably not going to kill you. But it did get a chuckle out of this one social media user in particular. So,
Lagway looks really damn good. Like that, which, I mean, he was the number one quarterback, had a great senior year. And I think he looks really strong. Mertz looked fine. I don't know that defense is that much better than it was last year. And that was a real problem for them, for much of the season. So, we shall see. They're running like the Jackson kid as like their big receiver. I mean, look, they're going to do what they're going to do. They're going to run the ball a lot. They're going to use a lot of window dressing to try to get the ball into Trey Wilson's hands, which he's a stud, so I think that makes a lot of sense. But just from a pure receiver perspective, Florida is a team that I think has to go to the portal to get an outside receiver, for sure. Miami, I mean, first of all, I think we need to acknowledge that, like, Van Dyke's in a quarterback battle at Wisconsin. So if you're trying to figure out, like, how much better are they with Cam Ward, I don't need Cam Ward to be a Heisman candidate for him to be a good bit better than what they had last year. If we want to read into the situation at Wisconsin, which is that Van Dyke has not taken that job and run with it so far. You know, they threw the ball to Restrepo a lot. Their running back is in the portal, I think, or will be, or like the one who's going to be their starter will come from the portal. They definitely need a big X after they lost Colby Young to Georgia, who had he's been killing Georgia all spring camp. So I don't think that's not a small loss for them to the portal. I expected more movement from them in the run game. So I know there's people out there that have mixed feelings on how good this Miami offensive line is going to be. I thought the Markell Bell kid, the big JUCO they took, looked decent. So that's, I guess, encouraging. But I don't know, man. I think you lose a center like Matt Lee, and that really hurts. Like, he's going to be a guy that's, like, for sure going to get drafted. Everybody mocked him for crying, but, like, he also cared a whole hell of a lot, I think. UCF was pissed when they lost him.
I'll give him a pat. That's a different level crying. It's not crying because you sprained your ankle or your pinky. It's crying because you lost a game that you shouldn't have lost after you put in all that work because of, like, decision making and stuff. I might look at that slightly different. And plus, when you're a little bit older and you're, you know, you realize you don't get that many opportunities. You realize the games are few and far between and can't afford to lose one that you had previously won. So
factual.
That is a factual comment.
That is correct. But yeah, I expected more movement in the run game, considering who didn't play for them. Some of their starting linebackers were out. Obviously, a lot of their defensive linemen have been held out or limited during camp. And, defensive back continues to be a bit of a problem for Miami. They're kind of short on numbers and maybe a little bit short on talent. So we'll see how well that works out for them. Certainly, they could win the conference. They could go 7-5. The schedule's a cakewalk overall. Mm-hmm. So who knows? But they certainly have shown the propensity to lose a game they shouldn't lose at times. So, yeah, man, that's kind of emptying the notebook.
Yeah. No, we mentioned them earlier, but if you are coming to town this weekend, would encourage you to go ahead and make reservations at Charlie Park. Madison Social and Township will be busy as always, and always appreciate those of you who have continued to support all the businesses of the For the Table restaurant group. But charlieparkrooftopbar.com is the website. Welcome to DM me or any other means getting in touch with me if you'd like any suggestions on some menu choices there, but a fantastic place and a great series of businesses that have been fully supportive of the Battles Inn from day one. So thank you to Matt Thompson and his team for everything that they've done for the Nolcast historically.
No doubt about it. All right. Top player you're looking forward to seeing in the spring game?
Sure. Malik Benson.
I'm going to go the opposite of that. I'm going to go AZ.
Well, I just couldn't choose AZ because I think I've talked about AZ like three times in each of the past three podcasts that we've done. But yeah, Benson, I'm excited to see for the fan base to see Roydell Williams. He's an impressive runner. Toa Philly continues to impress me. I think really highly of what he ultimately will be. I will say the limited number of snaps that I've seen Cam Davis get have been very, very impressive. Who I'm looking forward to see, who I'll be interested excited to see what the linebackers look like and excited to get a feel for what Sean Murphy looks like as a Florida State player. I mean, that's a big addition from a, you know, past recruiting perspective. And, you know, that is a dude that looks a little bit different than any other linebacker you got, as far as he's tall and long and has a bunch of range. And so that'll be somebody that, you know, you don't want to go crazy over evaluating a spring game, but, you know, I imagine the fan base will probably have an eye or two there just to get a feel for what that kid looks like. Earl Little Jr., if he's a, you know, if, depending on how much you get to see him, I can tell you, I think I got a pretty good feel for what that kid is, but, you know, excited for others to be able to take a look. And then TJU, I know I've listed like seven at this point, but it is, look, Brock can throw. Luke is very gifted. You know, from the first time you saw him throw 3 or 4 years ago, stood out to you. I think what stands out to me with DJ is just not only like how far, but it's just, it's simple, man. It's a flick of a wrist and it's 60 yards. I mean, it is impressive. So I do think that first long ball that people see DJ throw, will be really impressive. And he made a throw, again, I'll be short on details, but he made a throw, you know, running to one side of the field and throwing back to the other. And, you know, if you've ever played shortstop or played football, you know, you have an idea as to the challenge that that is. And it was a, it landed where it was intended. And it was a, you know, impressive to see, you know, not only is this guy that can take, you know, three steps, there's not too many 5 or 7 step drops left in football, but this isn't just a guy that can, you know, take a quick drop and put his back foot in the ground and fling it. There's an athletic component to his arm strength that's there as well. And DJ's been very impressive. So.
Awesome, man. I am really looking forward to the ball game. We will do a post spring game Nolcast as well, of course. And appreciate everybody listening, man. 5 stars on iTunes, Apple Music, of course. If you're a Google Podcast listener, you're not hearing me say this, but if you got a buddy who's a Google Podcast listener, obviously they're sunsetting Google Podcasts. Spotify is doing fun stuff with podcasts. So I would really encourage y'all to go over and hit Spotify. I know we are a heavy Apple audience, but I would definitely encourage y'all to go and check out what Spotify is doing.
Yep. And excited for everybody to just see Daryl Jackson. I mean, the dude looks like a 7-year NFL vet at this point. He's continued to shape his body, and Daryl looks different than he ever has, and stands out amongst a very talented defensive line overall. Somebody that you're just like, huh. Yeah, it looks different. So there's one more in addition to some podcast listening suggestions from Bud. So
for sure. This has been the Nolcast.
Yeah. Cool 57 minutes of Florida State football talk. We'll be back soon.